Good evening and welcome to the Gnostic Waves, your show that brings you all things of a mystical, philosophical and psychological nature, including a meditation practice. Thank you for joining me this evening. I'm joined by a special guest who is a Gnostic instructor from Byron Bay in New South Wales. I have Sean White joining us via Skype communications. Hello, Sean.
Diana, hello.
Thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
You're very welcome. Very, very happy to be here.
Excellent. All right, so you've chosen the topic of the world condition and greater truths. So why did you choose this topic?
Well, you asked me if I could say something that's relevant to the public, to the general condition. So something people could basically digest, perhaps. So I picked a topic that perhaps people could relate to or perhaps have some interest in.
Most definitely, most people would be interested in the state of our world, particularly if we want to become a bit more conscious about how we live and our environment. So how would you describe the condition of the world?
Well, that's obviously a matter of perspective into what, you know, what perspective we have on the world condition. Like, if you walk down the beach, I mean, the other day we were walking down the beach at Byron Bay, and all that, mostly families and people during the day are on holiday and relaxing on the beach. And I was thinking, well, from that perspective, you wouldn't think there was anything wrong in this world. Yeah. Everything was good. Everybody was relaxed. Everybody was having a nice time. Really, there's not a problem in the world from that perspective. Yeah, you know, and perhaps a lot of people can see that too. You know, if we look on Facebook and then, of course, you have a picture of yourself on holidays in Byron Bay and a picture of your lunch maybe and the family around you. The same thing, you know, you wouldn't think, well, there's not much wrong. The world's, everything's fine and life's good and we're all having quite a wonderful time. But then, of course, you know, you can look a little bit deeper, perhaps at the newspaper, the international media, whatever else, and you can see, well, you know, shooting in Las Vegas, threats of war with North Korea, terrorist and other action in Syria, Afghanistan, Libya, war in Yemen. And then, okay, you can see these things, but you can also see basic crimes happening around you and problems, issues, robberies, even murders, various things. And that changes our perspective a little bit. And if you look a little bit deeper again, look at various, say, more introspective or less mainstream media sites, you can get a different perspective on what's really going on in the world. About, well, not just media sites. For example, if we look at things like, well, when we're talking about our normal life, our normal human existence, you know, we're looking at our home and our family and our social interaction and the peace and stability that we have every day by, you know, going to work, using our finances positively, all these very simple basic things. And, you know, if we look a bit deeper at this world, we see there's actually a lot of threats even to that institution or that order that we have, the natural and spontaneous order in life. He's quite threatened by a number of our institutions. The fundamental institutions in this world have been created to support the order in our life, the peace, the stability, so that we can all get on with our lives. And perhaps, who knows, I mean, from the Gnostic point of view, of course, so that we can look deeper into ourselves. But from perhaps a person who's not so deeply interested in the greater mysteries of life, just to live their life every day and live it through without too many conflicts or problems, without being in the middle of a war, without getting involved in a messy divorce, without losing their house, without getting lost in serious vices and addictions. And so most people are looking just to live their life in this simple, stable way. And if you look across the landscape of the towns and cities in this world, that's what you'll see. You know, suburbia, even country living, city living is mostly just people getting on with their lives and hoping for peace, stability, some happiness every day and to find some type of fulfillment. Well, if we look at these fundamental institutions that have been created to actually to assist us and aid us in that purpose, we'll see that they're actually nowadays, there are elements within those institutions that are actually aimed at upsetting that, in those very same institutions that are actually aimed more at upsetting that stability and that peace and that lifestyle that we have.
Could you give some examples of where the common person could see that?
Well, for example, our military, a very, very obvious example. Militaries around the world, of course, are there to defend our stable and peaceful and joyful and simple lives. But if we look at our militaries now, I mean, the United States, for example, has I think it's around $700 billion military budget. And that's not counting various covert funding that it receives as well. And it has 900 bases internationally that are supposedly working for world peace. It also has, I can't remember the figures, is 10 or 20,000 nuclear bombs and warheads stashed, not just in America, but around the world, Australia included. It has ships, it has submarines and boats all over the sea, 10 aircraft carriers, various boats and submarines all over the ocean, with these various missile systems, even missile defense systems, which can also, of course, turn over to missile attack systems and have nuclear warheads on them. It has all sorts of war planes, I think a number of thousands of war planes, might be 5,000 or something, not to mention, anyway, tanks and et cetera. You could call it overkill. And then, of course, the Russian army has to have the same. In fact, if we look at international politics, they fundamentally resolve around avoiding the bombs of the USA. And so the military has really been created for us, to defend our peace. But if we look, for example, at the situation in North Korea, we're not looking at a situation of America defending anybody's peace, The North Koreans, you could say, are defending their way of life because they're not actually threatening any other country. They are not threatening invasion or putting economic sanctions or anything. They've never invaded another country. They've never even considered invading another country. What they've done is place strong barriers around their borders. But we, that is America, Australia included, Japan, South Korea, the rhetoric's there, invasion. And of course, that invasion is going to be similar along the same lines as the invasion of Afghanistan or Iraq or the various elements going on, Syria, Yemen, Libya, etc., where it's not like the Second World War where we went into a state and just, millions of people, millions of soldiers, for example, going to Germany in the Second World War from Russia, actually completely cleaned out the German military. And okay, whether we, whichever side we think was right or wrong, the actual fact was the end result was peace. But what will happen in North Korea is exactly the same thing that happened in Iraq and Afghanistan, is we will blow out a few of the main governmental and then military installations. And then we'll leave an army, because if you know anything about North Korea, you'll know that everybody in North Korea is armed, everybody is military trained. And so what we will leave behind, and everybody is very, very strongly anti-USA.
Or patriotic, would you say?
Patriotic, yeah, but even anti-USA, because the North Korean children are actually educated to believe that the USA, and they have been for a long time, that the USA will invade them. Now, that's a funny thing because that's actually happening. So, you've got to wonder who's right and wrong. But whatever who's right and wrong, what the actual bottom line is, what we're going to end up with when we invade North Korea is another failed state with an uncontrollable military insurgency that just spreads chaos, which is what we're seeing right through the Middle East now. So while our militaries are there, if we look at Syria, Syria's just been blown apart. Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, the people's way of life, which was actually stable. Syria had a very stable political system and a stable economy, and, there was free education and free health system, and that's gone. And other countries similar too, Yemen and Libya. Libya were the same. Libya was the most stable country in the whole of Africa. But, yeah, we see once we've taken down the government, we haven't actually resolved any problems. What we've created is chaos. So, anyway, yeah, basically, the military, for example, well, it should be working to preserve order and peace. It's actually creating the opposite. We've gone into overkill where, in fact, we are actually poised. And, you know, a situation in North Korea actually brings then chaos into Asia and then into China. And that's going to create huge problems with the West, with the Asian world as well. And so it's a conflict. It's a non-ending conflict. We've actually entered into a world of perpetual conflict. In fact, if we look at the conflict, it's not really just the conflict, an external conflict, it's an internal conflict. If we look into the nation of America, it has a serious conflict within it. It's not just an external conflict. Donald Trump says X, and the military sometimes do Y. Donald Trump came into power. One thing he said was that he was going to better relations with the Russians, and he tried, and Congress said no, he couldn't do it. And so there are opposing parties within the country. Hillary Clinton lost the election, and there have been protests and even riots in the street ever since. And interestingly, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have done nothing to say, hey, let's stop this. Let's stop this type of thing.
I think the theme that's come across is that conflict that exists and opposition in all, or at least in the political realm and in the military.
Yeah. But as well as that, I mean, when we look at politics, that's one thing. Then the other fundamental institutions that are there, you know, commerce and business and the, you know, the whole financial organizations. Well, you know, the whole thing of finance is to get a loan and buy your house and your car and whatever else, maybe a swimming pool, whatever else you need. The financial institutions, you know, the Commonwealth Bank used to be actually a service to the Australian people. Now it belongs to various shareholders, which aren't necessarily even Australian people. In fact, their whole banking system is, you know, an international organisation that really is just based on making profits. And so we are giving loans to people, and rather than just basically a service to humanity, to aid and help people, it's actually gone the other way, where we'll screw as much as we can out of the people. And so I know my uncle, my uncle and aunt, they bought houses, and they could actually pay off their house on one wage. And I remember my uncle was paying the prime amount of something like $10 a week for his house in the 80s, 70s or 80s by the time he got through his loan. But it wasn't that difficult for them to pay off their houses and get loans. Now it's very difficult, you know. The couples and people are struggling. Besides the fact that property prices are insane, we live in probably one of Australia's most highly priced beach shacks, because that's all it is in Byron Bay. We live in as a beach shack. And it's probably valued at around $2 million. And it's just a piece of sand with an old asbestos shack on it. Honestly, it's really nothing special that we actually had to repair a lot to move into. And then, of course, the rent's phenomenal as well. So these institutions are actually designed to bring us peace and harmony in the world. We are finding they are not. Business and corporations are very similar. You know, mining is doing massive damage to the environment and nobody really cares. And in the end, it's all just about profits. We don't even have people living out there anymore. They fly in, fly out, and then we just sack them and close the mine. There's no care whatsoever for the people. I think somebody told me the other day that the state of Western Australia, which is the economy is very strongly based on mining, the whole state is beginning to collapse. And people are leaving Western Australia. A lot of people are leaving Western Australia due to the collapse of the whole mining sector. So, you know, there's not that care anymore. If you have a job, well, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. It's not such a big deal. Our medical establishment, it could be said, if we investigate deeply enough, it can be doing more damage than good. We don't have cures for these diseases that kill people every day. Cancer and even common colds and pneumonia. there's very little we can do about them. There's a report on the news today about antibiotics and the fact that antibiotics are no longer healing people. And we are pouring all of our funding into these organizations. They're not doing very much for us. Media? Media is for our entertainment. But it's not really. Well, we have entertainment. That's fine, you know. I mean, how much time do we have, really? And our mobile phones have become devices not of communication, but just entertainment. And, you know, these entertainments can not just, it's not just entertainments are just for our pleasure, okay? But you'd hope that entertainments were supporting us in some way to lead valuable lives. But I'm actually observing the opposite. When we give our children access to media, to computers, television, mobile phones, they actually develop a divisive attitude or a conflicting attitude within the family, whereby they feel thoroughly entitled. They actually feel they have rights and serious entitlements. And that's quite a dangerous, you know, it's quite a dangerous area if we consider children that way, with rights and entitlements. Because if children have rights, they also have responsibilities. And yeah, anyway, I don't even want to go there. There was a case I read. No, let's go there. There was a case I read in the media the other day, on the news the other day. It was in some state of America. I can't remember where an 11-year-old child had been, we could call it sexually assaulted, but it was a sexually assault case by an older man in his 40s. And the judge deemed that case wasn't actually sexual assault because the child was consenting. Because the child consented to go home with the person. And so the case, which normally would have been a minimum or a mandatory 15-year sentence, was reduced, and the person was basically gotten off on that case because of consenting, because now children have the right to choose. So if you have the right to choose, you also have the right to consent. And this is really dangerous area, you know. I don't know if you understand where we're going here, but it's a very dangerous area. So we're saying law. So, you know, the same in law, like we're saying politics, military, government, education, and law especially, we don't take our law seriously anymore. This law, you know, law is not taken serious. This law is not to defend the child anymore. The law is just played with. It's just a game, you know, a game with the word whereby I can actually twist the law around to allow me to even commit such a crime, and so many different crimes in this world. Yeah, perhaps. But I think it goes a little bit deeper in the sense that there's no respect for law anymore. Laws are there to uphold certain values within our society and our structure, you know, the structure and order of society. But when we don't take our laws seriously, which is what's happening, what I said before about the riots, you know, in America when our particular political party didn't get into power, we're starting riots and even blaming the Russians and other people where there's no evidence whatsoever to suggest that. We're reaching a state of lawlessness and the government's, well, really doing absolutely nothing about it.
Okay, that's some serious topics there. We'll just take a short music break, and I've chosen a track from a CD recommended by a local Gnostic, Alexis Blakely. It's Ben Lee, Freedom, Love and the Recuperation of the Human Mind, and I'm going to play track 5, Land of Criminals. So we'll be back to continue on with the interview. And he's talking on the topic of the world condition and greater truths. Now, Sean, you mentioned that at the start how the average person probably, you know, if we didn't turn on the news or the newspapers, that, you know, we'd have a pretty, you know, simple life, simple balanced life. But really that the average person suffers, like, you know, you say both parents need to be working to pay off a mortgage these days, whilst back, you know, 30 years ago, one wage was able to do that. Could you talk a bit about the effects on the, you know, the average family?
Yeah, the effects, you know, this, I mean, this is where we're really coming to, the effects on the family and the effects on the individual, the effects on the community and the effects on society. What we're looking at, of course, is a graduated decline in our values. And of course, they are reflected in our, as I said, the, this coming state, or more and more lawlessness, living in more and more fear, not just of exterior countries and other things, because like I said, it's not like the actual conflict is coming just from other countries, North Korea versus America, etc. The conflict itself is beginning to develop within everything. Yes, a general decline in values. The media is very strong in that, you know, and it also promotes drugs and alcohol, which are having a terrible effect, a profound effect. In fact, a really profound effect on the loss of consciousness, the loss of ability just to live a very normal, simple, stable life. And so, yeah, really, you know, these fundamental institutions that we have created for our protection and to uphold the values in our society, the military, the medical system, the media, even our entertainments and movies and other things, they are not working positively for us. And what's probably what's most important to understand in there perhaps is that as individuals, or at least say as a community and as a society, our values are declining. And it's, we can't really blame completely the, we can't blame the external forces, because they are also just a representation of ourselves. If we didn't accept drugs or alcohol, there wouldn't be drugs and alcohol. There wouldn't be heroin, and there wouldn't be ice, and there wouldn't be all these other things. I live in a country town, and drugs here, well, it's famous for drugs, Byron Bay, but aside from that, it's quite incredible. But not even just this town, when we go out west to casino and other towns, the drugs are just, they've just taken over the youth, really taken over. Anyway, yeah, what we are looking at really is a decline. What it's creating is a decline in the values of the individual, because the individual is accepting all of this. The individual, you know, if the individual doesn't accept drugs, there won't be drugs. If the individual doesn't accept war, there won't be war. I mean, there's 1.5 million soldiers in the United States military, and I think it's 200,000 in the Australian military. And, they're the guys that go to war, not the ones that are telling them to go to war or supporting war. They are the ones that are actually doing it, walking around with guns. So we have, and they are just us. They are just guys who are living in our street, or in, you know, in suburban Sydney or Melbourne or Adelaide or wherever. What's really important for us to understand this, that it's our slide and decline in values, because these institutions that you could say are certainly contributing to the slide and the decline in values are really just, they're basically run. The people power within them is actually us. We are going to work in the media. My sister works in the media. One of my friends, you know, various friends I had at school joined the military. You know, others have become university professors. Others, you know, we have friends who are in medicine and etc. So, yeah, we are all part of this. It's just a general decline. So what's really interesting then is to ask ourselves, you know, what can we do in a world that's completely falling apart? Now, I wish that we could form a movement and an order, which has happened in the past. You know, when we see we see cultures and societies like in ancient Egypt or Rome at its peak period, or even Christianity in the Middle Ages, we see an institution that affected the whole world positively and brought more positive values to all of society. But when we look at this society in this world, I think, wow, what on earth could we possibly do? So I sit here at home mostly meditating and working on myself to change the values that are inherent in myself. because I can't work out what I can do in the physical world. I can help a few people. I can learn to understand all of this in myself, that the slide and decline in my own values. When I grew up in a world where alcoholism was a norm. Drugs were very easily accepted, and pornography and, you know, various levels of sexual experimentation were normal among teenagers. Violence was unaccepted. You know, we went to rock concerts and things and got into fights and et cetera, et cetera. It was just a standard norm. We just played in this world. But nowadays, you know, those values have declined a lot. The drugs, we just drank alcohol and smoked dope. Nowadays, it's ice, heroin, cocaine. These things weren't available in Townsville when I was a kid. They just weren't available. You didn't have them. So, yeah, we've slid a lot further. Society slid a lot further. And, yeah, what I've understood in myself over time is that the fundamental responsibility for society actually lies with me. I realized some years ago I came to a point in my life when I thought, you know, looking at this whole world, and even no matter what order or what social group or community group or family or anything I belong to, the buck has to stop with me. I actually have to pull myself up out of the ground. If everyone's going to argue and suffer, if everyone's going to break apart their own institution, if our institutions and organizations, which is very common in this world, are going to be taken over by ambition and petty jealousy and envy, well, then I can't allow myself to do that. And I have to fight that at every turn of the road where I find it. But fundamentally, and this is the worst part, is that that fight is not an external fight, it's an internal fight, because what we find then is the personality and the ego within us. And so the ambition that destroys institutions is actually instilled inside of me. And so as I am working to destroy that within myself, I can become a positive and conscious member of an institution or an organization in this world. The violence that's externally in the military is also inside of me. And if I can dissolve the violence within myself, I can also uphold peace in my house. Otherwise, my house can be a house of, you know, say, institutionalized rules that are upheld through really serious and, what can we call that? Very serious, rigid, even violent behaviors to uphold those rules and norms. So, yeah, you know, when we come to the bottom of it, what I feel, what we are looking at, or what I'm looking at in my own life, is changing myself. Which is where this thing that you're doing here is really wonderful, because you're actually talking to people about having positive values, about consciousness, about awakening, about anything other than the egotistical values, which we almost seem as a human race to have forgotten. We have become, in our, you know, what we are seeing in our fundamental institutions is they are self-serving. The military just grows and grows and grows and demands a bigger and bigger budget every year. And its excuse is that other militaries are growing and growing and demanding a bigger budget. Yeah, all of these fundamental institutions that are running our society, our education system, etc., they are really, really self-serving. Recently, we had some issues with our kids at the school, well, two different local schools actually, and their behaviors. And what I realized after speaking to the teachers and others, teachers don't take on a role of responsibility at all. They just pretend they're the children's friends. And if you bring up any sort of an issue that is controversial to them, they will just ignore it. They'll report it. It goes to a reporting system, mandatory reporting, and then it will just disappear. And nobody actually does anything about it. And if you go and actually address that with everybody, nobody really wants to hear it. So, yeah, I came to the point of understanding that even in a sense that our children, while they pretend they're interested in school and they got good marks, when I talk to them about any of those subjects, I realize they weren't. They didn't care. So school now, high school, is about fundamentally about socializing. It follows that with drugs, drug experimentation and sex experimentation. That's really what school's about, high school's about. And yeah, it was a difficult moment for us. But, you know, what I realize is we have to take responsibility. There's no point sending our kids to school, seeing them come home completely crazy and antagonistic toward any sort of order or system in the household, even disrespectful to their own parents. We actually have to take some responsibility for that and even educate our own children if necessary. This society that we're living in now, we can't expect anything within the society, psychological services or its religions or anything, to actually give us any aid. We actually have to find all that within ourselves. So it's a fight. It's a really big fight, and that fight is an internal fight. It's a fight against what we're really looking at, perhaps, in society, is what we're really looking at is a reflection of ourselves. Samuel Alambier says that. He says that really beautifully, that society is just a reflection of the individual. And in these corrupt times, we have actually the best reflection that we've ever had of our own selves. And what this society actually gives us, I realize, as Gnostics or as people who work on themselves and who are working for self-realization and spiritual values, because of the intensity of its degeneration, what we develop from that is we develop the ability to fight. We develop strength of will. We develop strength of spirit. Because if society was nicer and everybody was beautiful and lovely every day, well then the fight against ourselves and our corrupt values wouldn't be so strong. I find that living in Byron Bay is a famous place, you know, for its drugs and degeneration. It's, you know, since the 60s, it's been the hub of Australian counterculture, the Australian countercultural movement. And so it has a very, very strong, like, energy or force or power that we have to fight very, very hard against to collect within ourselves, to collect our thoughts, to have a clear mind, to fight within ourselves. Because when we are fighting within ourselves against our own inner corruption, the stronger that corruption is around us, the stronger that fight is within us. So living in a place where we have to fight harder is actually really good for us.
Yeah, so true. I just reflect how these days we need to have such a strong will just to, you know, be happy, not to fall into anxiety or depression or, you know, feeling a lack of hope in the things that we see. We really need that strong will or hope or something. And I just wanted to ask, or just to reflect on how there's always an easier tendency to look outside of ourselves to fix our problems. And it's so much harder to actually, because maybe we think, oh, what's changing one person going to affect? Like we want, like say, for example, an activist wants to go and convince everyone about their cause. But so there's that natural tendency to look outside of ourselves. It seems to be easier for some reason. Do you have any reflections on that?
The path of degeneration is a lot easier than the path of regeneration. To be just what society wants us to be is much easier. To go to work every day, to come home. Like if you've got psychological problems, for example, well, go and tell the doctor. And the doctor maybe send you to the psychiatrist or psychologist, or either way, you'll probably end up just taking medication. And then, you know, basically your faculties are just dulled. And perhaps it allows you to live your life, you know, within the institutions of this world. But it doesn't allow you to self-reflect, develop a strong will, to actually, you know, you really, really need a clear mind, and you need all your faculties intact to be able to actually be able to fight for your own intelligence, for your own peace of mind, for happiness, for joy, for a sense of being. I mean, what we've really lost, and the whole fundamental loss originally comes from the loss of, not religion, but the loss of God, the loss of divinity. It's what we've really lost. You know, we've lost the fact of seeing ourselves as spiritual beings. We don't, as a humanity, see ourselves as spiritual beings, whether we're religious or not religious. We might be a very, very, very zealous Muslim, and we're at the temple all day, but we still don't see ourselves as a spiritual being. We don't realize we have an essence and a consciousness within that can actually grow and learn, and through our own efforts. In fact, as Samael Aviv says, through conscious efforts and voluntary sufferings, voluntary sacrifices, voluntary sufferings, we can actually make that essence grow. And that's what's really important. I mean, in actual fact, without that, there's actually no purpose to life. What is the purpose in seeing the latest movie? It's just to receive another sensation. Or the purpose in eating another hamburger. Or going on holiday somewhere. Or buying some new clothing. Or, just living through our life. I mean, okay, it's a fair enough sort of life to think, okay, can I just try and be happy and have a bit of peace and get through to death without too many conflicts and problems? But if we accept the culture of our modern times, well, that's not going to happen. There are, like I said, drugs, there is alcohol, there are all sorts of things that, you know, the standard fast food diet is going to make us sick, unless we've got an extremely strong constitution. So, yeah, you know, there's actually nothing around that's really going to help us within the various institutions of our society. We actually have got to create or develop a power within us that can save us. And that inner power really comes from divinity. We have to learn to see that each one of us, and this is what you don't see anywhere projected, yeah, that we have a divinity within. And that focusing on that divinity, we can also develop a greater type of intelligence, a logic that can understand life in this world in a very, very different way. And we can find happiness even in the very, very worst situations. We can find happiness and joy. We can transform our emotions into something wonderful that can be constantly giving and giving and giving out to our fellow beings. In fact, to do that, we really have to stop being self-serving. This is where the big problem is. The main problem is that we have lost divinity. And in all our institutions, in our media, in our movies, in our music, in all the other fundamental, of course, in medicine, government and everywhere else, even though they say the Lord's Prayer before they start a session of Parliament in Australia, no one actually reflects on it. No one's actually relaxing and looking within. You know, if we spend an hour meditating and praying to our inner divinity, to that one great being and that inner being within us, well, in Parliament would be very different. And I'm sure the decisions that were made in Parliament would be very different. Now, I'm not saying we could save the world. I'm not saying that at all, because it's a bit late, honestly. It's too late. But we can certainly save ourselves, and we can certainly work for anybody around us that is willing to listen or that is actually willing to make any efforts.
Thank you, Sean. Some very inspiring words. We'll just take another short music break. The track is from the same CD as before, Freedom, Love and the Recuperation of the Human Mind by Ben Lee. And this will be track 4, Bigger Than Me. So we'll be back to continue with the show with the meditation practice. Okay, we're back on the Gnostic Waves, and Sean is going to be leading us in tonight's practice. So take it away, Sean.
Okay, so speaking about this need for inner divinity, introspection and inner divinity, we'll do a practice, we'll do a mantra, which is the most standard or the most prevalent mantra, or has been in Tibet, Om Mani Padme Hum, which basically means, oh my God in me. So relax your body, Get yourself comfortable. Take a few deep breaths. You can say with me or as you like, just sit and listen. It's all mani tami. We're looking into our heart. We are looking to connect, not just to think that God exists or something else, to actually connect within the divinity that really is within us. Or rather than within us, to understand that we are just a smaller part of a greater being.
Remember that any time that you feel a loss of force or a lack of inspiration or a loss of love, that you can look within and the answer lies within. Okay, this meditation is over.
So thank you very much, Sean, for coming on the show, for giving us that really insightful talk and finishing off with a divine practice.
Oh, welcome so much, Diana. Welcome, everybody.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for on the show tonight. Thank you to all our listeners. If you missed any of that show, then please go to the website gnosticwaves.com. That's gnosticwaves.com, where you'll find the recording. And also, if you're interested in Gnosis in the Byron Bay area, then please contact do a Google search on Gnosis in Byron Bay, and I'm sure that Sean and Rochelle, the instructors there, will be able to answer your questions and let you know when there will be some upcoming new classes. So until next time, have a good week and